Welcome to Rewatchable. This is episode 102 of our Freaks and Geeks round. Today we will be discussing episodes 5, Carded and Discarded, and episode 6, Girlfriends and Boyfriends. Today I am joined by two newbies, Caitlin and Kristen. Hi, girls.
Hello. Hello.
And to get in contact with us, we have a few ways. We've got our email, which is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperbool.com. And our Tumblr is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So before we get into the episodes, Caitlin, I just want to say I'm so happy to be recording with you since Glee Chat ended. It's our first little recording since then. I've recorded with Natalie and Mitch, obviously, but not you, so...
Reunited.
And Kristen, this is my first time recording with you, I think, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't think we've ever podcasted together, so that's good fun.
I know. I think I will probably record with everyone on here except Pamela. Because if Pamela's the other host, then, or like the other, like, super fan host, then, yeah. Sad times. Anyway, so to get into the first episode, it's episode 7. Our synopsis for this episode is, Sam, Neil, and Bill befriend a girl that's new to McKinley High, but they're worried that if they let her hang out or talk to anyone but them, they'll lose her forever. Meanwhile, Lindsay, Dan, Nick, and Ken are in the market for new fake IDs so they can go see the rockingest new band, which doesn't exactly go as they planned. Oh, and Mr. Weir really just wants the kids to hang out with him. So, yeah, I guess straight off the bat, so Sam, Neil, and Bill have a new friend. What do you guys think about this? I mean, I liked it because I like seeing Sam interact with girls other than Cindy because I don't like Cindy. so what do you think, Caitlin? What do you think about the boys' new obsession with this new shiny toy?
I mean, they were so gross about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's, like... all teenage boys are like that because it seems like every boy on this show is really gross about girls, or if that's just teenage boys in general.
And they are younger teenage boys as well. They're only, what, maybe 14, 15?
But the boys in the Freaks group are pretty gross about girls too. Oh, yeah, so true.
They were just so melodramatic about it all, weren't they?
They're just like, you can have her. Like, I'm going to claim her. She's mine. Would you give her up? Like, I'm like... because she's a toy. Good job, guys. Way to be gross.
Yeah. Kristen, what do you think? I know that you put in the doc here saying that she was Vicky Donovan on The Vampire Diaries, which means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah, no, the minute she walked on screen, I was like, oh my god. I recognize her, but she's, you know, much younger than she was when she was on Vampire Diaries first season. And it just took me by surprise because she looks like herself, but kind of not. And so I had to look it up. But yeah, it is her. Love Kayla Yule, so I was excited to see her on this. And
yeah.
I think I like her character. Like, I like that she, despite the three boys being kind of neurotic and weird about her, like, she doesn't seem off-put by it. She's just like, whatever, I'm going to do what I need to do. Like... Mm. You guys seem cool, whatever.
Yeah, what I really liked about her is that she seemed like a character who just honestly... I mean, I don't know if this is sort of like a typical new kid sort of thing, but she seemed like she genuinely... like, she was smart enough to know that the geeks were sort of on the outside-ish, but she just sort of didn't really care. Like, she had the mentality where she knew that if she sat with the cheerleaders, like... it didn't really matter as much to her as it meant to them. Like, she thought she could still be friends with everyone. And I thought that was sort of nice. I don't know if we see that in many other TV shows where the new kid goes to the school and they sort of fall into a group right away, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Usually if they fall into one side, it's like, you're stuck there. Like, or if they make the transition, it's because they've chosen to, you know, put off these other people. Like, there's no way I could talk to everybody.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Like, I thought a really funny scene with this one as well is when they went to Harris to try and ask him what they should do, because he's, you know, the Samuel Jackson, the wisdom of of the show.
Yeah.
And the way
he's the Yoda to their, yeah.
Yeah. When I first watched the show, I mean, I don't, because you guys are newbies, did you think that Harris and Bill were related?
What?
Because for the longest time, I don't know if I was maybe, like, out of it in the first, like, two or three episodes I watched it, but I genuinely thought it was, like, the same actor, like, playing him, just dressed up differently. Because they look very similar, unless I'm crazy for thinking that.
I mean, I guess I can kind of see it, but it wasn't anything that ran through my brain.
It was so, like, so out there for, like, so, a present for me. Like, I just couldn't see otherwise, but, yeah, anyway. But no, I like Marine, and I thought a really good scene in this was the bottle rocket scene. That was really cute, even though it was so melodramatic with the slow romantic song playing in the background.
Yeah, it was cute though. Like they were so earnestly being kids and just having fun, and that was adorable.
Yeah, is Marine? Do you think that she's meant to be older than the geeks?
I don't know.
She was in that class, and apparently she was in several classes with them.
Yeah.
I would guess she was about their age.
Yeah. I liked Marine. So in the next storyline, we do have the Freaks. Even though the show is called Freaks and Geeks, it's so sort of, like, I wouldn't really label the Freaks freaks, because they're not really that freakish, but anyway. The Freaks, Lindsay, Dan, Nick, and Ken... I was about to say Karen then. Lindsay, Dan, Nick, and Ken are in the market for new fake IDs. So they want fake IDs and they want to go see the new band that's in town. And we do have a great scene at the start with Mr. Rosso, who is a very big character in this episode, of him singing and Nick's loving it, Nick's singing along. And I really like Mr. Rosso, and Caitlin, I think you do as well. Am I right in saying that?
Mr. Rosso is my favorite character. I love him so much.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so great. He's just like, he's trying too hard and it's amazing. He's just so ridiculous. Bringing out the guitar.
Yeah. I love Mr. Rosso. There's a part in the next episode that bothers me with Lindsay, but I guess we'll talk about it then. But other than that, I think he's probably one of my favorite characters on the show as well.
I wish I had a guidance counselor like him. Like, my guidance counselor was, like, a 75-year-old woman who could barely, like, hand me the college applications I asked for. Like, I would have loved to have somebody like this guy who was, like, you know, trying to talk to you and, like, actually be a part of your life. Like, that's so cool. So I like him, too. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, at my school, we had a really cool guidance counselor, actually. Like, I think that's sort of... I don't know if that's sort of, like, a common thing, because in TV shows, it seems like the guidance counselors are usually... the cooler teachers at the school. I mean, I don't know if we can call Emma Pillsbury from Glee cool, but I think she is cool.
When he hands her the pamphlet, I was like, it's Emma!
Yeah.
Emma flashbacks! Yeah, definitely.
And that was we had a quiz on Hyperball comparing Freaks and Geeks and Glee that I helped create with Brittany, who's on the show. And she had a really tricky one in there. She had the pamphlet. She said, which pamphlet does this belong to? And if I'm not mistaken, she actually chose one from Freaks and Geeks and not Glee. But you would think, you know, if you watched Glee, that would be Emma, because Emma is known for her pamphlets and stuff. So that was very tricky, Brittany. Got to give her credit for that.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, fake IDs. I never had I never properly had a fake ID. I have a story with one, but I'll ask you two first if either of you had a fake ID. Because, you know, we've got to relate this back to our own lives, obviously. Caitlin, did you have one?
No.
No, Kristen?
No.
No, okay.
Honest to God, never did.
Yeah, I never had a proper fake ID, however. Getting rid of a story here. One of my friends, everyone always said, look like me. So I was so close to... And because I'm going to sound like a little teenage boy sob story here, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I was 17, like, in the legal drinking age here is 18, right? And when I was 17, so a few years ago... My birthday was at the end of the year, so all my friends were turning 18 before I got to turn 18, and apparently for me back then, that was just a very hard thing to do, hard thing to go through, because obviously, and I was going to use one of my friend's fake ID, one of my friend's IDs to try and get into a bar, but I didn't do it, because I couldn't really be bothered, but still, that's the closest thing I do, so I guess we're not too rebellious on this podcast.
I was so lame in high school. I was too busy to do anything that you would need a fake ID for.
It's just way too risky, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're involved in anything at school during high school, like, you don't really have a whole lot of spare time. Like, I was big into I played softball for a couple of years, and then I was big into the drama department. So, like, I had no spare time to go be off doing bad things.
Yeah, no, this, yeah, for me, that was after I graduated. But I don't know. Year 12 as well, which was would have been my senior year in American high school terms. It's just crazy. Like, there's literally no. Because, I don't know, I have to ask you, because I get confused about the high school the American high school system. In year 12, or your senior year, you do your SATs at the start, right? And then, if that determines what college you get into, does the rest of the school year even matter?
Well, yeah, you can take your SAT, or there's another test, your ACT, depending on where in the country you are and what schools you're looking into for college. There's two different tests. And typically you take them at the end of your junior year or the beginning mm-hmm. of your senior year. And or then, both.
Because you might right. you usually take them at the end of your junior year in case you don't score well and want to retake it at the beginning of senior year.
Mm. Right. And then they send your full transcript once you're done. So, I mean, it does matter, but you've technically probably been accepted to wherever you want to go before the end of your senior year.
But if you flunk out, you can lose scholarships or things like that yeah. you were given. So you have to, like, finish so you can keep the scholarships, but you don't have to generally work as hard. You just have to pass through.
Wow. That is so different to how it is here. Like, we have one big end-of-year test at the end of our last year, and then that determines what schools we get into, so we have to, like, the last year of high school is literally the hardest time of your life for me. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So we had a really cool scene here with Jason Schwartzman, who is the first guy they go to try and get their fake IDs. And this was really, really funny. He was really flirting with Lindsay, which brings up another part with Millie's criminal cousin, who I thought was really funny because I love Millie so, so much. And no, Kristen, I know you had thoughts on their sort of views on Lindsay. Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah. I'm not really sure what they were really going for with this, but I thought it was interesting that they made sure both of these completely unrelated people who Lindsay does not see or talk to on a regular basis. They don't know her barely at all. Both of them comment on how pretty she is, and considering where she is in her, like, journey of self, like, who she thinks she is, she's so lost and has, you know, no real self-esteem or anything right now. I just thought it was really interesting that they made that a point to kind of push to the forefront. Like, both of them made very obvious passes at her, and I was like, huh, like, I wonder what exactly he was trying to get across with that, because it wasn't, like, hit you over the head with it, like, you know, it was the only thing they talked about, but he made a point to kind of bring that to the forefront.
I feel like they do it a lot in this show specifically, where it's really subtle that they sprinkle it throughout, like, making us know that Lindsay sort of views herself differently to how everyone else views her. Like, she sort of feels like she has to, a part of her feels like she has to rebel and that she's not, you know, like you said, she's got low self-esteem, but everyone else, like, thinks she's fine, you know, like, she is just, you know, she doesn't want to go to college and she's the mathletes and all that sort of thing, or the triathlon, whatever it was called, but she doesn't want to do it, but everyone else thinks it's cool. So everyone else thinks that she's fine and she sort of doesn't. So I think it's sort of this scene specifically and scenes like it are sort of there to sort of show us that that she views herself a lot differently to how everyone else does.
I think there's something there too, that she's, like, purposefully trying to make herself not look as attractive either, like, drowning herself, like, in her big jacket and everything. So, but so she's also, it seems like, trying to avoid it, but then it's showing, like Jack said, that, you know, other people don't view her like that, and she may be trying to hide from it some.
Yeah, I agree with that with the big jacket, even though I think she looks really... I love her look with the big jacket. I think it looks really cool. Yeah. Kristen, what do you think? Do you agree with that? That this sort of is there to show that she sort of looks herself differently? Looks at herself differently? Sorry, I'm really tired right now. I'm stumbling through my words.
No, you're fine. No, I agree. Like, yeah, she definitely doesn't see herself the way other people do. Like, just for the sheer fact she doesn't want to be a mathlete. She doesn't want to be like Millie. You can tell she kind of sees Millie as what she could be or what she used to be, and she's trying not to be that. But at the same time, she's not, like, fully a-go with everything that the freaks try and get her to do. Like, she's not... She's still on this journey of trying to figure out who the heck she is and who she wants to be. And so she's not just throwing herself wholeheartedly into being the counterculture, but she's also not like, hey, I want to follow every rule and be the mathlete and have everybody look at me like that either. So, yeah, I think this definitely kind of fits into Lindsay's whole trying to figure out what the heck is going on and who she wants to be and what she wants.
Yeah, I really as well. I don't think she... Well, I don't... No teenager does. But she really does not like being told what to do. And I feel like where everything you just said, Kristen, is... it comes up in the next episode with Mr. Rosso, because I have opinions on his intentions, what he was trying to do. But yeah, no. Yeah, good. I just want to say as well with this scene, Jason Schwartzman is in Parks and Rec, and he's amazing. I just had to bring a Parks and Rec reference in there. Cause
that's of course you did.
Parks and Rec is awesome. I understand.
Oh my god, Kristen, do you watch Parks and Rec?
Oh, yes. I was watching old episodes just before I started this.
Oh,
like,
my
I watched
God.
The Harvest Festival episode because it's, like, awesome. So, I understand.
I have a Little Sebastian t-shirt that I wear all the time. You know how in the show they have the I Met Little Sebastian at the Harvest Festival? Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, my God. I'm jealous. I need one of those.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anyway, man, I could talk about Parks and Rec for literally my entire life.
I understand.
Yes. So, Mr. Weir...
And I don't.
Yeah, okay, I realized that towards the end of the Glee Chat run, I was bringing up Parks and Rec, like, maybe 5 times every episode.
It was true.
I think I've almost convinced Natalie to go and watch it, so that's achievement right there.
I think Natalie would like it. I think it's right up her alley.
I don't think she'd like April, though, to be honest. I think she'd find April annoying.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, this is not Parks and Rec rewatchable, even though that's a good idea. So Mr. Weir, he really, really wants to create this family, this traditional family event thing on Friday night of playing Pit. Now, Kristen, you've played Pit. What is Pit?
Yes, I have. It's kind of random that I've played Pit, but one of my friends brought it up one day. We were just hanging out at the apartment. She was like, I have this game. My mom gave it to me, and she said we should try it. It's like you are collecting, like, there's a whole bunch of different cards, and they have different products on them, like oats and other, like, tradable goods. Like, if you were back in the 1700s and you were trading for oxen or whatever, that kind of thing. And you want to, like, collect all of the same thing so that you can, like, I forget what the term is, so that you can, like, corner the market on whatever item you're collecting. So you want to get all of the cards for that, and once you get a certain number of them, you can say that you've cornered the market and you get those points. It's a really random game. It involves a bell in the middle of the table, so you can ring it as soon as you have all the cards, and it can get kind of loud and obnoxious, but it was really good fun. So when he said Pit, I got very excited, because I was like, oh my god, I actually know what that is.
That does not sound that exciting to say.
It doesn't, but I promise you, it's more fun than it sounds. Like, okay. It really is a better game than it sounds.
I thought it was a made-up game.
No, it really exists, and I've played it.
Well, Pit is the... I'm going to get all geeky here, but Pit is the name of a classic Nintendo character, and I forgot that that's not the actual name of the game, so I got really excited for a split moment when I first watched it, and then I remembered that it wasn't, so... Yeah, but I feel like in a lot of TV shows, we get this sort of storyline about the parents who want to connect with their kids and make them stay in on a weekend, even though they don't want to, sort of thing. But I thought it was really funny at the end how Mr. and Mrs. Weir just really wanted to hang out with Sam on the couch, and he just looks so uncomfortable. John Francis Daly is perfect in making those reaction faces at this age.
I love that face. It's the one he makes when they pull him out of the couch. Like, every time he makes that face, I lose it, because it's so great.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, yes. It's really funny. Even though I don't like it when he does it around Cindy, but we'll get to that in the next episode because I don't like Cindy. Now I'm really excited to actually get to get you guys' reactions on Cindy. Anyway, anything else with this episode? Anything else that we haven't discussed?
I mean, the parents cracked me up when the mom was like, "No one's home. Do you want to have sex?" He was like, "I guess." Like,
well, that's what I thought they were going to do in the second episode as well when they asked if Sam was there, and I thought it was going to be another thing. Like, Jesus, guys.
I thought it was funny they didn't use, like, a euphemism or something, because usually on TV shows, the parents don't just say, "You want to have sex? Let's go." But they totally just went for it, and I was like, go you. Like, that's so much more realistic than, like, trying to come up with some clever way to say it. Like, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, especially if, like, the kids aren't there. Like, of course they just say it normally.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, that's so much more believable.
Yeah. Can I say as well, Mr. Russo's band actually isn't as bad as, like, I think that was sort of making it out to be. But that scene also was really funny when he caught them out drinking beer and made them get a sort of soft drink.
They're your finest pop. That's amazing. I thought I kept waiting for him to, like, stop in the middle of the song and recognize them. So the fact that he just kind of goes with it and then does it when he would be talking to the crowd anyway was so good.
Yeah.
By the way, them calling it pop and not soda or something gets me every time because we call it pop. But on TV, they never just call it pop. And so it makes my heart happy every time they refer to it as pop.
Yeah. So here we call it soft drink, and I have no idea why. Because it's, like, not soft if, like, you're trying to describe the, like, the fizziness in the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Caitlin, I want to ask you about your views on Nick in this episode. Kristen made a point in the doc here about the way he held Lindsay's hand when the guy thought that they were boyfriend and girlfriend. And I know that in the previous episodes you haven't liked Nick that much, especially I think it was after the party scene, I think.
Yeah.
After the Kegger. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think now, like, a few more episodes in? Like, do you like him more or still don't like him?
I have thoughts about the next episode. I didn't mind him in this part because he recognized that the creepy cousin was being really creepy. So it was very much that trope of, we're dating, wink, wink, go with it, hey. So he was trying to rescue her from that, so I didn't mind that as much. But I'm not a fan of him in the next episode.
No. Kristen, what about you?
Well, yeah, I am a big Nick fan. I just think he's really sweet and endearing, and I'm sure we'll get into this in the next episode. But I didn't necessarily think it was really fair, because it seemed when she said, yeah, this is my boyfriend, like, he totally got that she was trying to stay away from the creepy guy. But I also think that he kind of took that as, hey, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, all right, let's go. Like, they don't really say that, and in the next episode, you find out that it's not quite so clear-cut. But I think he was kind of really excited, and he seemed to kind of hold her to that later on, like, as the episode finished. So I don't know, but I still like Nick. I still think he's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's been kind of holding to that in some level even before that. Like, Lindsay seems far less invested in this than he does.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Do you still think, I mean, I'm not, like, sort of, definitely not sort of alluding to any, like, future storylines, but previously in the season, we definitely saw some tension between Lindsay and Daniel, James Franco. Do you still think there might be anything there, or do you think that's sort of done with?
I feel like in order to keep the peace with Kim, I think she's kind of not making any sort of move toward Dan anymore. Like, not saying that they don't have some sort of thing, who knows, but I just feel like she's kind of like, well, okay, that's a lot more complicated than I feel like dealing with, and so I'm just not going to deal. Like, just not deal with it anymore.
So you think feelings are still there, she just thinks it's better to not deal with it, or?
Like, if this right situation arose, I think Lindsay would probably be on board to, like, make out with Dan or whatever. Like, if something were to happen with him and Kim and he was a free agent again, maybe she'd go for it. But I don't feel like she's going to be the one to instigate anything because it's so annoying and complicated, and I don't think it's something she wants to deal with, yeah.
Okay. Caitlin?
I feel like since the cheating thing, he's lost a lot of muster or shine for her. Like, when she busted out laughing at his manipulation in the office, I feel like that was sort of a death knell for that thing. She's like, I see right through you and not interested anymore. Because there's that scene, I can't remember which episode it's in, but when they're in the study hall and they're sitting next to each other and she's just like totally uninterested in him. And like he's like trying to get her attention. She's just like, I'm reading my book, go away. So she's like, she just does not seem to be that interested anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I'm not going to say anything. That's all I'm going to say. Interesting. All right, going into favorite scenes, I'll go first. Mine is the Mr. Rosso's band performing, just because that whole scene was amazing. And they actually sounded really, really good, because sort of going into the scene, you were sort of expecting them to sound kind of crappy just because of how the show and how the kids perceive Mr. Rosso, but I thought it was really, really good. Caitlin, what was your favorite scene?
Well, since I couldn't pick Mr. Rosso's band, because that was amazing, I picked the rocket launching scene just because it was very, like, I don't know, I just liked how very genuine, and they just seemed like a group of friends who were just very much enjoying each other's company, and they were, like, running after the rocket. It was coming down and, like, jumping on top of each other to get it, and it was just cute.
Mm. That was cute. Kristen?
Mine is, I call it the Goodbye Maureen scene, because I loved how dramatic Bill, Neil, and Sam were when Maureen just wants to go eat lunch with the cheerleaders. Like, she's not saying, I'm never talking to you again or anything, but all she wants to do is eat at a different table, and they act like she's going off, you know, to war, and they're never going to see her again. Like, it's just adorable, and I love those three anyway, so.
Yeah, we'll be here if you need us.
Yeah,
it's totally like a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're acting like they're never going to see her again, which probably is going to push her away because it makes it seem like they don't want to see her again.
Definitely, yeah.
Do you think we'll see Maureen again?
I think so. Like, she didn't move away or something like that, so I feel like we'd see her again.
That seems sort of like a farewell moment, though. So I wouldn't be surprised not to see her again, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her again, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So, in going to favorite lines, mine... Actually, no, Kristen, I'll let you go first, because mine sort of follows up after yours.
Sure. Mine is from Bill, because mine are almost always from Bill, because I find him hysterical. And he says, she's the kind of woman you could cut the cheese in front of. And it's just, it's so fabulous, because it's so Bill, and I couldn't get over it. I love it. And it works so well with the next episode that I, yeah. Once I saw the second one, I was like, oh my god, that's fabulous. Yeah, I love it. Let's go with it.
Yeah, so mine is Neil's response to that. And he goes, that is true. I mean, you have to sleep with your wife for every night of your lives. If you couldn't blast one in bed, you'd get physically ill. It's just amazing, especially because, yeah, like you said, Kristen, it carries on through to the next episode. But I love how Neil's just so matter-of-fact. He's like, yeah, it is true, you know.
Boys.
So good. Caitlin, what was your favorite line?
Mine is a conversation between Mr. Rosso and Lindsay when he is, like, trying to get her to pay attention to him and be guided, and she's not having it, and he goes, okay, tell you what, why don't I just come and visit you then in the prison where you'll be living and give you some really good advice, like, you know, should you get shanked in the yard or the dining hall? When you have your baby, which prison guard should take care of it? That kind of thing. That'd be a great way to do my job, don't you think? And Lindsay just goes, only time will tell. See you in the prison yard. I love Mr. Rosso so much. He's so great.
Yeah, yeah. I think his line in the next episode is funnier, but Caitlin, I think you chose that for your favourite line, so I'll leave it for now. Alright, so if that's all for episode 7, we go on to episode 8. It's Girlfriends and Boyfriends. So the synopsis for this episode is, Sam finds himself lab partners with Gordon, the big smelly kid, while Billy gets partnered with Cindy. Sam pretty much thinks his life is over until he takes some really good advice from Gordon and gets back in the game. Lindsay, however, is busy navigating the wonderful world of girlfriendhood. She and Nick don't exactly talk, but everyone else in her life, from Millie to her parents, has an opinion on what she should and should not be doing. Yeah, so going to the stuff with Lindsay and Nick first. Yeah, I think that was really interesting, Kristen, how you put it, how everyone does have an opinion on what she should and should not be doing, which, I mean, I suppose is sort of how it is with life in general. Like, everyone closest to you always have an opinion on what they think you should do. But what else do you think? I mean, do you think that the people's thoughts on what she should be doing are valid? I know Millie has some strong opinions, but how do you view her parents on what she is like? Oh, I'm going to say that again. How do you think her parents are in this whole situation? Go to you, Kristen.
Well, I feel like she's kind of collecting people's opinions. Like, I feel like Lindsay doesn't necessarily know what she wants out of this Nick situation, because she clearly doesn't hate being around him, or she wouldn't be around him. But she also doesn't seem like she really wants to, like, be his girlfriend. She doesn't want to have to deal with the labels and the pressures that are being his girlfriend. So she's kind of, like, gone around and collected Millie's opinion, and she talks to her parents. And I was kind of surprised that her parents didn't have a stronger, like, set of rules for her. Like, when we kind of started the series, and they always want to know where she is, and they, you know, they're constantly asking her questions about that stuff, I felt like they would have stronger opinions about, you know, how they restrict her time. And that tends to be a thing on TV. Like, the parents always have some sort of rule that keeps them from being able to just do what they want. I thought it was kind of refreshing that they were, you know, they want her to stay a virgin, clearly, because they're her parents, and that's, you know, that's normal. But they also didn't, like, scream at her and, you know, be like, don't you ever have sex, how dare you? Like, I thought it was really nice that they didn't, like, pressure her to stay one way or another. They just kind of told her, be careful, you know, really think about it and know what you're doing.
Yeah. I think that it shows as well how much they do trust her, like, as they should, you know, because she, even though she has done some bad things in the past, like, I mean, not that they know about, of course, like the mailbox on Halloween and egging Sam, but for the most part, she is a very trustworthy daughter, like, well, they think she is, and she really is. She doesn't do anything all that bad. I don't know, a little bit, but not terrible. So, yeah, Caitlin, how do you think Lindsay is in this episode? And with Nick? I mean, we'll ask you about Lindsay first, and then we'll go into Nick in a sec, because I know you have strong opinions.
I mean, it makes sense that she's very much, like, not sure what she wants to get out of the situation, and then she's very uncomfortable when she realizes that he quite possibly is wanting to have sex with her, and it does make sense that she would, like, go to her connections to get opinions, though I do think her parents more forced their opinion on her than she wanted it. And they also have very little practical advice if they're trusting her to be responsible. Their basic way for her to be responsible is stay a virgin, which I think we all know that's not the most practical advice, especially for someone of that age. So I don't know if they're as trusting or as giving her as much responsibility as it seems like in that sense, but I don't know. I think I respect the fact that she thinks about it a lot and isn't just jumping in one way or the other.
And what did you think about her dad in the scene, especially at the table when he sort of just snapped at her and was quite unreasonable at the beginning? Did you expect that, or did that take you by surprise?
I mean, that seems very much in line with him. He's always, he has that opinion, and he's going to be loud about expressing it. Mm. And it tends to be a more conservative opinion on what should be happening in the situation.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, one thing I thought was a bit odd with the parents, though, is that they sort of jumped straight to this, like, jumped straight to the shark and assumed that she was going to be having sex right away. And I know that's sort of a thing parents will do, definitely, especially for Lindsay being the age that she is. But I feel like Lindsay was more just she was just talking about having a boyfriend, and she was sort of talking about sex to her friends, for example, Millie. But when at the lounge, it just took me by surprise, even watching it for a second time, that they started talking about sex right away. Am I odd for thinking that, or Kristen, what do you think?
No, that definitely is a little strange. I mean, if she's just started dating this kid, not every person who immediately gets in a relationship is, you know, starting to think about sex. I mean, granted, the freaks, that kind of seems to be where most of their brains go immediately, but I don't know. It did seem a little bit odd.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was odd because as soon as they go there, especially when they realize that it's Nick, and Nick was there the night that Daniel and Kim were getting it on in their kitchen. So,
oh, true. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of Nick, Caitlin, I know that you, I don't really know your thoughts on Nick at the moment. Sort of explain how you felt and then how you may still feel or not feel now in terms of Nick and his advancements with Lindsay.
I've been trying to find words for this, and it's hard because I just have this icky feeling about him when he's with Lindsay, and a lot of it's like I want to like him, but my mind keeps going back to him being very friendly to her, and then at the kegger, then he immediately, like, first chance he gets, tries to, like, take her bra off, and I'm just like, that's very much like, seems like what I'm looking for is physical from you. I'm being nice to you so I can get in your pants. So that kind of goes against how he's acting in this episode, but he's also like super clingy and not recognizing her signals in any way because she is not in a lot of ways responding particularly well to him. She doesn't push him away, but she's not also being like, yeah, let's go right for it. So, and when we're saying, you know, only yes is consent, that she's not really saying yes. So he's not doing a good job of reading her complete discomfort, and like he's sticking his hand in her pocket and she's like, no, that's a no-go. And he's not getting it at all. So just, he's plowing forward too hard. But it seems like he's thinking he's being real moral and upstanding about it, and it leaves my skin crawling a little bit.
So do you think his main intentions are just for, well, sex, like just for the physical stuff, or do you think that he sort of really likes her, and then that's sort of just something that he perceives has to go along with that? Like, if you really like someone, then like he doesn't really separate emotional feelings like physical feelings. Is that what you're saying, or you think it's just purely physical?
I think my view has changed slightly, that at first I did think that's all he was interested in, but this episode sort of changes that a bit because he's like totally you expect that's what he's going for, and he does not. He's like, no, that's not it at all. But there's just, I don't know. I'm not sure what he's angling for, except it's just very, very clingy. And when you look at Lindsay's face in response to things, like, she's amused at first when he's singing the song to her, and then she starts going, okay, this is getting creepy. And then when he, like, holds her, she's like, oh, dear God, do we really have to do this? Like, he's just not getting it.
I'd agree with that. I think he's very clumsy. Like, I feel like he really, 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 really likes Lindsay, like, so, so much. And then that sort of causes him to not really know how to behave around her. And because of his friends and everything he's sort of been exposed to, especially in his friend group with the freaks, he sort of feels like, well, sex is something that goes along with really liking somebody. And that's not sort of how a lot of people would really see that as. But Kristen, how do you feel about Nick and Lindsay at this point? Do you sort of agree with Caitlin?
Well, I think Nick, I mean, he's a teenage kid. So, yeah, he's got sex on the brain. Like, that's clear. I don't necessarily think he's trying to work on one specific goal. Like, I don't think he's worried about getting in her pants or whatnot. I think he really does like her. He just seems to be taking his, like, boyfriend-girlfriend cues from what he's seen. Like, he's watched Dan and Kim be whatever they are, probably the closest thing to boyfriend and girlfriend that he's really seen, and he's kind of trying to take cues from them. Like, the whole hand in the pocket thing is a very Dan thing to do. So when he did it, I kind of assumed that it's a, we're standing in front of Dan and Kim, and of course I'm going to do something to kind of, you know, kind of lay claim, even though Lindsay and I haven't really talked about this and we don't really know what we are. So I feel like, I don't think Nick's trying to do anything specific. I think he's just trying to figure out how to be a boyfriend and, like, what that means and whether they even are a boyfriend and girlfriend. And because of all that and him not really wanting to straight up ask her and be like, listen, this is what I want, because he's a teenage kid and is, you know, probably insecure in his own ways, he just does what he thinks he's supposed to do. And so because of that, he can kind of come off a little strange here and there. I totally understand the creep factor sometimes, but I think he means well.
Yeah, and you've posed the question as well on the doc, asking if you think he's trying to be different. Well, like, is he trying to be different because he thinks Lindsay wants him to, or is it because what he wants? Do you sort of have an answer for yourself? Or
That's a tough one. I think he knows that Lindsay isn't ready to sleep with him. And I think he's getting that from the faces and things she's making. And so he doesn't want to push her because he's Nick and doesn't want to be, you know, that guy. I think he really does care about her. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think he's really worried about it either. I think maybe he isn't as sex-driven as some of the other guys there. Like, I don't think he necessarily is like, I have to sleep with her or what's the point? Like, he just likes being around her. So it might be a little bit of both at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I also feel like that, that with Nick, like, he likes her so much. And I think a part of him knows that Lindsay isn't as invested as he is. And that sort of is also affecting his behavior around her in terms of what he's trying, who he's trying to be around her. But yeah.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So with the next storyline in this episode is with the geeks. So we get a very smitten Sam over Cindy, and Cindy is probably my least favorite character in the show for reasons that sort of happen. Actually, reasons that sort of actually start happening in this episode. But I want to get your opinions first on Cindy, because straight off the bat in the first episode, also, in my first viewing, I really didn't like Cindy. So is that the same for you too, Caleb? How do you feel about Cindy?
I don't hate her. I think she seems pretty genuine as a person. And there's so many stereotypical portrayals of the popular cheerleaders who are just so catty and nasty and would be totally cruel to Sam and his friends. And she reaches out to everybody and is nice to everybody. And I don't think we see that enough in that portrayal of, you know, cheerleaders and that clique in high school shows. So I like seeing that. I did not like the way she was also, speaking of missing cues, the way she was reacting to Sam at the very end was super uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Kristen, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, up until this episode, I didn't have any problems with Cindy. I thought she was just a nice girl, and since Sam liked her, you know, I was totally cool with it. After this episode, Cindy's not my favorite, because, yeah, she clearly is missing some signals that he is clearly throwing her, and, she's not my favorite, put it that way.
Yeah. So my issues with Cindy, probably stem from the way Sam is around Cindy. Like, he becomes, I mean, he is sort of wimpy looking and is very small and innocent and stuff, but he just becomes pathetic when he's around Cindy. And I know it's a very typical thing for a boy that age to be so smitten and then become stupid around, or silly around somebody who they really likes. But it just, I don't, it's so annoying. Like when Cindy will walk up and he goes, "Oh, hey, Cindy," you know, like he does it all the time, and it's really it's annoying. And I also think that it's very, I still can't put my finger on whether she's not smart enough to say the cues that Sam really likes her, and does she think it's a good idea for her to sort of be talking about this guy that she's into with Sam? Like, I don't really know what's going through her head, because we've seen her to be a smart person, you know, in terms of, like, education and stuff. She seems to be very intelligent, very invested in school activities, like, you know, with the yearbook and whatnot. So she's not an unintelligent person. So what is her motives with this? It just seems like she's so oblivious, and that sort of comes from the high school group that she's in. Like, she's just socially not all there, is how I think. And I just really don't like how she is around Sam, and Sam can do a lot better than Cindy.
My first thought is just, like, does she think he's gay? That's, like, the immediate first thought that I had. Why else would she feel comfortable talking to him about this guy that she has a crush on over burgers? Like, that just seems very odd.
But see, the thing that didn't quite sit right for me was in the previous episode, there's a scene where Maureen and the three boys are walking down the hall and Cindy walks past and Sam doesn't really acknowledge her. And then at the beginning of this episode, she's kind of freezing him out because of it. It's the only reason she'd be freezing him out. So clearly she noticed him and she is upset enough about being, you know, ignored by him in that 2-second interaction that she's reacting to it. Like, so clearly she has some sort of feeling toward Sam. Like, it's not like that she has always just given off the friend vibe. And she's clearly giving it back to him by freezing him out. And then this episode, you kind of see that get turned on its head where Maureen's not around. And so you're seeing Sam trying to kind of get back into Cindy's good graces after, you know, this thing he doesn't even know he did, really. And Cindy kind of, you know, sticks him in the friend zone and starts talking about this other guy. Like, I'm kind of not happy that she clearly was upset enough to do something about it before, but then it's easy for her to just kind of friend zone him and talk about somebody else.
So you think her actions here are all calculated and on purpose?
Well, like, early in the episode, yeah. I don't know what she's doing now. Like, I don't know what her goal is by talking up this senior guy who isn't looking at her but is when Sam isn't looking. Like, I don't know what she's doing. But it seems like there's definitely something between Sam and her, and whether she's just trying not to deal with it, I don't know, but it's affected her enough that she acted on it earlier.
Okay. I guess I sort of come from a different place. I don't think she's that sort of she's not really that calculating. I think she's just, like, really oddly naive to the point where she doesn't see everything that's going on and just sort of, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's more naive than anything. I don't even know if what she was doing she was, like, consciously aware of that she was doing it, because, you know, you can be recognize a slight and then act that way completely unconsciously, and she may not have even known she was doing it. And I could see her being, because she just does not have all the social cues, clearly, because she's not recognizing very obvious ones from Sam. It's not that he's being subtle, like, he's being very obvious about it.
Yeah.
So she could just be, like, I don't know, I just, maybe some of the ways she's being, maybe that seems calculating, I could see being completely unconscious on her part.
Yeah. And Caitlin, back to the question that you posed before about you asking if Cindy thinks that Sam is gay. Do you think that Cindy thinks that Sam is gay?
I don't really, but that was just, like, my first thought because of all the TV shows that are on now, and that seems like it would be the immediate first thought. I more think that she just thinks that he's, like, harmless and, like, he doesn't seem very sexual the way, like, the older boys are. So he just seems like, and he's nice to her. Like, she says she thinks he's the nicest boy. So I just think she sees him as very harmless and safe.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, dating material.
Yeah. I can't have an opinion on this. So, Kristen, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, she clearly likes Sam, as in she likes being around him, and she doesn't mind being friends with him because they've done a lot of stuff together in the first, you know, 6 or 7 episodes. But, yeah, she definitely has friend-zoned him. She definitely thinks he's the safe option, and maybe she's, you know, I can see her down the line, like, if she gets rejected by someone, maybe clinging to Sam, even on just a friend basis, because he makes her feel good about herself. So I could definitely see that. But yeah, I think she definitely sees him as the safe option, like Caitlin said.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yep, very good. I can't say what I feel about this because, yeah, later stuff.
Jack's just no comment.
Yes, no comment.
Evil laugh, twiddling his thumbs, yeah.
So a little sort of mini side plot line that we get with this one is Gordon. I can't remember if we've been introduced to Gordon before or if this is the first episode.
He's been in the background.
I feel like we've seen him. Yeah, I feel like he was in the gym episode, maybe.
Yeah. He was, when they were kicking that ball around, and he was just lying on the floor not doing anything. And he was trying to, he was like, I am not climbing this rope.
Yeah.
Well, I really like Gordon, and I like how he, because he's genetically, genetically is the right word? Yeah, like, he's got a disorder where, you know, he smells, basically, to put it in basic terms. And, I like that he acknowledged that. Like, he's not silly. He knows what everyone's saying about him and why people sort of don't want to be around him, and he knows that, and he still doesn't let that affect the friendship that he wants to make with Sam, and I thought that was really, really cool. Kristen, how do you feel about Gordon? Do you like him? I mean, it's hard not to like him, I guess.
He's one really smart kid, too. Like, I loved all of the stuff he had to say to Sam, like, in Sam's room when they're studying or whatever. And Sam starts talking about Cindy and his girl troubles, and Gordon has really good advice. I was like, thank goodness Sam has some kid who's not just crazy, like, trying to, you know, like, Bill and Neil are kind of nuts when it comes to the girl thing. So it was like, I really liked Gordon. I wanted to give him a hug. I was like, thank God someone around here has their head on straight.
He probably has to, too, because of,
yeah,
you know, he's a bigger kid, which is never easy. And then he has this disorder that, according to Wikipedia, makes you smell like fish.
Oh.
So that's not just that he smells bad, it's that he smells fishy. So that poor kid. So he probably has really had to do some soul searching at a very young age and is probably more mature for his years for unfortunate reasons.
And I love how Sam sort of got over it right away as well. Like, when Gordon was over at his house and sitting on his bed, you could see the discomfort in Sam's face. Like, he just doesn't want the smelly kid on his bed. But he sort of just got over it right away, and they just had a really, really fun time together. And it was just so nice to watch. I love Sam when he's around other characters, just not when he's around Cindy.
I just love how you see, like, one scene he's, like, uncomfortable with him using his pencil, and then, like, the next scene they're, like, really close on the bed having this intense conversation.
Well, the pencil thing was just gross anyway. If anyone did that, took a pencil from me and, like, scratched themselves in the neck, and, like, anybody, it doesn't even have to be a kid who, you know, everybody talks about smelling bad, I would be a little grossed out. I wouldn't want the pencil back.
Oh, like, for sure.
I felt bad for Sam. It's like, you can keep that one. I've got another. It's okay.
Yeah. I have a question as well about, I'm sort of just educating myself in American high schools here, but I've seen a lot of TV shows how the class will assign each other random partners, which, yeah, that's, you know, what happens. But then is it like the common thing for them to go over to each other's houses, even though they may have never sort of spoken to each other probably before, or not, like, at that friendship level where that would be, like, a normal thing? Like, is it a normal thing for them to study like that? Because I'm sure, like, Gordon isn't making... I'm sure that Bill isn't making regular trips to Cindy's bedroom, you know? And I didn't mean for that to sound as it did. I take that back a little bit.
I mean, not something we did. Like, I group things, but we would meet at, like, the library or something to do any work.
Yeah, like, I don't remember ever bringing a lab partner back to my house. Like, if we had a huge project and we put it off to the last minute, maybe. But, yeah, for the most part, if we were going to meet and talk about it, we'd just meet at school somewhere.
Yeah, same here. All right, just had to ask, because I feel like it happens a lot in TV shows. So anyway, if there's nothing else for this episode, moving on to favourite scenes. So mine is the scene in the classroom, like, with Gordon and Sam, like, before Cindy intervenes, because I just think that they are really cute together, and it was a really, really, really nice scene right before Cindy had to grace us with her horrible presence. Caitlin?
Mine was Mr. Rosso involving himself in Lindsay's life further in a really uncomfortable way, and he's pretty much just tells her that he has herpes, and I was like, this is really inappropriate, but I am, like, on the floor laughing at this point. Because he's Mr. Rosso. Like, that's the only reason that it was really funny.
Yeah. Kristen?
Mine is definitely the last scene, just because I have a soft spot for Nick, and him just trying really, really hard to be, like, romantic and endearing, I just thought it was adorable. So his little serenade and his moves, quote-unquote, just got me. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So, with favorite lines, mine is Millie, and it's a bit of an odd one. But I love Millie so much, Millie's my favourite, so I had to put her line in there. It's when Lindsay's asking her about the sex advice in the classroom, and Millie says, "You can't have sex with Nick. Once you do, you'll never be the same again. Plus, no one would want to marry you. Why would they buy the cow when they can get the milk for free?"
So gross.
And it's kind of horrible, but it's like Millie has the best intentions, but it's so funny.
Millie.
Caitlin?
Mine was, yet again, my main man, Mr. Rosso, when, from the same scene, he's, like, asking her about Nick, and she's like, "No, this is nothing." And he goes, "Hey, no need to explain anything to me. I got it on in a van at Woodstock, so I'm not judging anybody." Like, I love him so much. Because of course he did. He's in a band. Like, I love him so much.
And he's a hippie, so that's what you do.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Oh, he's so great.
Kristen?
Mine actually comes from Mr. Kopcheski, however you pronounce that, in the hall, like, after he's, like, shooing Lindsay and Nick to their classes, like, he's, you know, trying to get them to class, and he says, "Last one to class, first one on welfare, it's your choice." I died. I was like, what teacher says that to a high school chick? Like, oh my god, I thought it was hilarious.
So good. So that wraps up discussion for the two episodes. So to get in contact with us, we have our email. It's rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @re_watchable. We have a Tumblr, which is, give me 2 seconds because I need to look it up, rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can get in contact with us on this post on Hyperbool. Now, quickly speaking about Hyperbool, we have been putting up some Freaks and Geeks articles on Hyperbool just to sort of parallel what we're doing here on the podcast. We don't usually cover Freaks and Geeks, but, you know, it's a fitting time to. There's a fabulous article written by Kristen about Rashida Jones on Parks and Rec and on Freaks and Geeks and a few other roles that she's been in, which I love so much because Parks and Rec for many, many reasons. And there's been a few more, and as I mentioned before, we have a quiz on there as well, with comparing the two McKinley High Schools from Glee and Freaks and Geeks, and that was written by Brittany, and I contributed to, I think, all of the Glee questions and a few of the Freaks and Geeks ones. So fun times if you've seen both shows. It's a very good quiz, so go check it out. And we also have iTunes. Now, for our iTunes reviews, if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will serenade you awkwardly in her basement with a song she picked out just for you.
I totally just made that up. I love it.
Also, Karen was meant to be on this episode, and I was hoping she would be, because I was going to ask her what song she'd pick out for me, but I can't.
We'll have to bother her about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I want to know, too. Yeah.
So we've got 3 listener feedbacks here. I'll split them up. So, Caitlin, did you want to take the first one?
Sure. This is from Twitter. Sarah at Magic is Might says, I find it really confusing that you guys switch between actor names and character names during the podcast episodes. And
I'm sorry,
most of us don't actually know the character names. We just know their actor names. So I think that's how most of us keep them straight. Yeah, we used their character names, so there's that.
I saw this, so I tried to really do it well. I mean, I suppose it's easier for me being a super fan, but I don't know if you newbies are finding it hard to get the names down.
I was just called Daniel James Franco. Yeah.
For the first, 3 or 4 episodes, I thought Bill's name was Neil. And so then I couldn't figure out what Neil's name was. And then it finally dawned on me that Bill's name was Bill. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes so much more sense. So it did take me a little while, but I think I've mostly got him down now.
Cool. Good stuff. Hey, Kristen, did you want to take the one from the Tumblr?
Sure. Maybe Something Blue on Tumblr asked, hey there, love your podcast. It's great to have more people so excited about old shows, too. Do you have any suggestions of movies or shows related to Freaks and Geeks? I know Brittany answered the question on Tumblr, so if you want, I think she talked about Declared. Is that the name of it, I think? Yeah. So you can always check out the Tumblr and get her answer to it. But I wondered if, anybody here had any suggestions for something that would be close to Freaks and Geeks. Glee is the obvious comparison, but there's a lot of good teen drama stuff. If anybody out there, youngins, cause I kind of am a little older. If you haven't seen 10 Things I Hate About You, I suggest you see it. It's so great. It's a fabulous movie, and it's super fun. It's Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles, and it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it, too. It's one of my favorites.
I can't think of anything that... I mean, I don't really watch a lot of movies, but the TV shows that I watch probably aren't really relatable to Freaks and Geeks. Caitlin, what about you?
Yeah, I am drawing a blank because I mostly watch genre shows, and those don't really match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, She's All That's another one that kind of falls along these lines. But again, my high school movie selection comes from about 8 to 9 years ago. So it's they're kind of older at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, if you sort of wanted to check out the actors in different movies, I mean, they're in heaps, Forgetting Sarah Marshall and, you know, there's just... I mean, How Many Mothers Were So Good with Jason Segel. I mean, that's a very good show. So, but granted, that is 9 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so as Kristen said, if you want to check out the Tumblr, it's been responded to. So if you want the list, go check it out. We've got 1 iTunes review and a 5-star, and it was labelled 5 stars, duh. So, yes, duh, 5 stars for us. And it was by Can We Be Best Friends? And yes, we can be best friends. They say, I don't usually write reviews, but Rewatchable deserve these 5 stars. The hosts are great, and not only do they offer great discussion, but also just enjoyable listening. They are hilarious, and the banter between them makes you feel like you are just hanging out with friends. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one is probably one of my favorites. Thank you for the laughs, and keep up the great work.
Aww.
Thank you. Aww. So sweet.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts, too, and I always feel like the best ones are the ones where you feel like they're just your friends listening in. So I totally saw what she was saying, and I'm glad that we kind of filled that gap, because that's always good fun.
I mean, I listened to Kristen, you went on the Atla run, but I listened to everyone on there. Caitlin, you were, and you guys, I love listening to you. I didn't really feel like I was with friends, because I was friends with most of you. Yeah, very good. So thank you for that. So next week we will be discussing episodes 9 and 10, We've Got Spirit and The Diary. So you can look for us on all the regular places, iTunes, Hyperball and whatnot. So, yeah, thank you for listening. I've been Jack.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Kristen.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.